Good morning to everyone. We certainly have a good crowd out this morning. We're thankful for the presence of everyone here. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know that you are our honored guest, and we invite you back on every occasion that you have. And we hope that all the things that we say and do this morning will be beneficial to all that are present. And if you're here and visiting, if we do something in our worship service that you don't understand why we do it or have a question about, well, feel free to approach anyone here, and if they can't answer the question that you might have, well, I'm sure they can find someone maybe that can, and we'll search the scriptures and see why we do the things that we do. It's with heavy hearts I know that we have this morning and the loss of our dear sister Joan Cash. I visited with her many times and just come to have a deep love and respect for her and her Christian attributes. She was just such a humble, cheerful person, even in times when I'm sure she didn't feel as good as she would like to. She was always encouraging to me, and she'll always hold a very special place in my heart, as I know many of you have known her lots longer than I have and have been encouraged and inspired by her to do well. I appreciate Sister Charlene for her close conversations and connections with her to keep up with how she was doing, and she talked of her very much and how much that she thought of her and how good that she had been to her and for her in her Christian walk. The last time I visited with her was before she left to go over to the Passionate Care. Brenda was with me, and her sister Jenny was there in the room, and before I left, I patted her on the shoulder, and I told her that we love her, and she kind of batted her eyes, and I feel confident that she heard what I said. She wasn't maybe able to respond like she would have liked to, but we were going to go by Friday afternoon and see her again over at Passionate Care, and unfortunately she passed away before we made that trip. That's a reminder to all of us of the brevity of this life, the uncertainty of life, and sometimes we make plans to do things and the plans get changed, don't they? But what we can take great happiness and rejoice greatly in today is she was ready to stand before her Creator. She had lived a life of a Christian example, and she's in a better place than we are because she don't have to go through the things that we might have to go through in this life. She was a fine, fine woman and just done so much to encourage so many. And we were so blessed to have her as part of this congregation. And her legacy will live on because of all the people's lives that she touched and for the Christian example that she set. And that's kind of leads us right into our lesson this morning, as I've talked about all these things to do with a harvest or about a harvest, as we've talked about in reference to how that the Bible uses the harvest ideal of the importance of understanding our commitment as being part of God's servants and working in His kingdom, in His vineyard. We need to understand all the things that are involved in leading others to Christ so that when time upon this earth shall end, we will have a sure hope. And again, you can make parallels about how that when we go out and plant things in the garden, or if you're Mike Brown again, I know I've talked about him a lot because he farms a lot and has a lot of crops and a lot of things that are very dependent upon that. Whenever Mike goes out and plants that seed in the spring, he's got to have hope of all the things that it takes to build up to a harvest. And that hope is based upon, in that situation, in the physical situation, based upon physical things that he has seen transpire in his lifetime. And whenever you think about it, you have to have the seed, you have to have the soil, you have to have the season. You have to realize that God is in control of these things, and you put your hand to it, and then God blesses you with the showers and the sunshine. Those things are out of your control, but they're in God's control, and you see the results of the fact that you put your hand to it and you've applied yourself to what God gives to it, and together you have a harvest. You have something that is very palatable, very, very meaningful, very important, and very sustaining for people. Well, and again, when you think about we talked about, we have to have an attitude of a servant. And that means that whenever there's work to be done, we can't shun it or push it off to someone else, but we have to say, you know, it should be my job. I used the illustration about how when we go into a nice restaurant and sit down and eat, and we're so blessed in this great nation that we live in, we can go in and sit down and be waited on as if we're royalty or if we're a king. And somebody will come and say, well, what do you want? And I'll write it down. I'll go get you a nice meal. I'll get you a salad. You can have a three-course meal. We'll get you a ribeye steak, and then we'll get you a dessert. And they just cater to you. As a servant, they cater to you. Their job is to be a servant to you, and they make you want to come back and maybe dine there again, don't they? Because they've got that attitude of understanding, it's not about me, it's about the people that I'm waiting on or the people that I'm tending to. And again, bring that over to our spiritual lives and think about how that sometimes we have to set our own desires and the things that we might like to do to the side and say, you know, I need to rise to this occasion and be a servant to this person. I need to be a servant to my brother or to my sister in Christ. I need to be a servant to them and take on that attitude of a servant. And sometimes, because we've had it so good so long, it's hard for us to get our hands around the ideal that we need to be a servant. And again, Michael Ray done an excellent job of bringing out that ideal. If you want to be a leader in the Lord's church, first thing you got to do is put on an attitude of servitude. And unfortunately, in this life, a lot of times people that are in positions of leadership, you know, they have to put on more of an attitude to deal with how people look at them as being a leader in this, in things pertaining to this life. But in the church, it's different, that we have to put on that attitude of servitude. And again, we talked about last week our willingness to sacrifice of our time and energy and our efforts to do the Lord's will. And sometimes that's a little bit hard for us to do because we're encumbered with a lot of things that require a lot of us in this life. And I know everybody is at different stages with that, with your families and your children, and we all are. But we understand that in physical things, oftentimes we have to sacrifice something or give up something so that we might have something. And we talked about the definition of that was to give up something for a greater cause. And we understand that when it comes to physical things. And I challenge you to ask, last week, I challenged you to ask yourself the question, do I understand it when it comes to spiritual things? Do I understand that I have to sacrifice something, that I have to give up something so that when this short life is over, I won't have to fear death, I won't have to fear the grave. I will realize that I have fought a good fight and I've finished my course and I've done what God expected me to do because I sacrificed some things. I gave up some things. I was willing to say, I'm going to set this aside that I might obtain this, that I might apprehend heaven, that eternal goal when this life is over. And again, we're talking about this morning, if we've got this sure hope, all these things that build up to this will be a lot simpler for us. In other words, if our hope is fixed on heaven, and that's where we're trying to go, and that's where our ultimate goal is, and that's where our hope is, and that's where our hope lies, then these other things will become a little bit easier for us to do. But if it's not, if our hope is not set on those things, if our hope is not set on what comes after this life, when this life is over, then these other things will constantly encumber us to the point that we might not be focused on doing the Lord's will. And with all that said, we'll get into our lesson. Definition of hope: expectation of God's finished work as pertains to our salvation and what God has promised us when this life is over. Yes, this hope should motivate us to do God's will, to be busy doing good works. The hope we have makes our journey seem more as though we're just passing through, longing for a better place. The difference between faith and hope is, faith says it is now, hope says in the future it could happen. And you know, hope motivates us to do a lot of things in this life, and we understand that again, how that we hope for things. Whenever people put seed in the ground, they hope for the things that they need to have a bountiful harvest, don't they? Well, whenever we put on Christianity, whenever we're baptized in the watery grave of baptism, we come up out of that a new person, a new creature in Christ. then our hope is fixated on what? On God's Word. On what He has promised us. And His Word tells us that He cannot lie, and if He promises us something, it's going to be that way. And sometimes I think it's a challenge for us to get our hands around that and get our minds around that and understand that this is just a pilgrimage. This land that we're, the earth that we live upon now, and this land that we're walking through, it's kind of like a testing ground to see what it is that we will do in different situations. But what we've got our hope set on and what we're fixed upon is that eternal abode with God when this life is over. So again, kind of think about the idea of an expectation that you actually expected. You know, we depend on other people all the time in our lives, don't we? And whenever somebody tells us that they're going to come by and pick us up and take us to the grocery store or whatever the case might be, we expect that to happen. We know because we've dealt with that person. I know from dealing with Brenda, been married to her for 36 years, that I don't have to question when she tells me that she's going to run by the bank for me, that she'll run by the bank for me. Now, granted, she could forget it because we're all human. But I expect when she tells me something that that's going to happen. I don't question it. I don't doubt it. I just expect that what she says is going to happen because I've become dependent upon her dependability and her reliability. And when I think about that in comparison to what God has promised us, and I think about my expectations for when this life is over, sometimes I wonder if I have the same faith or confidence in that expectation as I do with the things that maybe pertain to this life and the people that I deal with and come in contact with. There's many, many people in this building today, if they told me they were going to do something, I would never question. I would just say that's going to happen because they said they were going to do it, because I've grown to have confidence in what they say. So again, when you think about the word expectation, it kind of supersedes the idea of having faith in that, but the fact that because you know that God has promised it, you expect it when this life is over. And we should have that confidence, and we should have that expectation of what God says. And again, the seventh key that we're talking about this morning, to the harvest, sure hope is a confidence we must have in expecting the harvest. All our labor must be undertaken with the firm assurance that God will bless our efforts and we will surely reap the harvest. If we lose confidence, we will get discouraged and labor with doubt and reluctance. Laboring with faith is indispensable to the success of our efforts. God will surely honor our faith and grant us an abundant harvest, which is a home in heaven. And again, that just kind of brings to light for me, and I hope it does you, the ideal of the laboring that we're doing, the things that we do, coming out and worshiping God this morning. It keeps us focused on the fact that we're going to be part of that harvest whenever God calls His people home into heaven. We're going to be part of that, and that's what should keep us motivated and focused on doing the things that we find revealed in His Word that He's instructed us to do. And again, if we're moving on those things, we won't become discouraged, we won't become downtrodden, we won't become reluctant and just stepping up when we know that there's something that we need to be doing for the cause of Christ, for the enlarging of the borders of His kingdom. We'll just do it because we know that we're going to have a reward for that. We're going to be blessed for that. That's what God has for us to do while in this life. And again, we have sure hope about a lot of things in this life, and there's a lot of things that we can't depend on in this life. We're not guaranteed that we'll see another sunrise. We don't know that. So we have hope when it comes to things of this life, but think about our hope when it comes to that eternal abode with God when the short life is over. Are we reluctant? Are we doubtful? Are we discouraged? And sometimes we let those things cause us maybe not to do the things that God would have us to be doing. We need to ask ourselves that question from time to time. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And again, there's kind of a distinction made between faith and hope. You know, hope, again, is the thing that we see out in the future. We don't have to wonder about just exactly right now. We don't really have to have a hope about right now, but we have to have a hope about something that's out in the future. Brenda's going to have an MRI I done it, and less than in the morning. Our hope is that will reveal that there's no spreading of that cancer. That's our hope. That's what we're praying for, because that's still out in the future. By this time tomorrow, we'll probably know the answer to that hope. So again, we're going to have faith in God that those things will be as He would have them to be. But hope is a little bit different than faith. Hope is something that's out in the future, and it is the thing that motivates us. You know, sometimes people in the worldly sense or in the physical world, they have a hope of maybe getting a job promotion. They have a hope of being able to retire when they're 55. And that's something that's still out in the future. Many here have already obtained maybe their hope or their desire to retire at a certain age, and that's good. That's great. But it's not something that you have to hope for now, because you've already obtained that. So when we're hoping for something and reaching for something, it should keep us encouraged to do the right thing. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I thought this was really a good illustration. As a Christian, when you look at that fountain there, how that it's just bubbling over and it's running over. I want our hope to be like that as Christians. Our hope should be just like that fountain right there. When people come in contact with us, we should be bubbling over with that hope so that they can see it, so that we can be an example unto them. We wouldn't be a person that would be easy to be downtrodden or discouraged if our hope is where it needs to be. And he talks about here how that hope comes through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, when Christ is getting ready to leave his disciple, he said, I'm going to send unto you a comforter. We have that, don't we, as Christians? We have that comforter. And that comforter tells us that we need to keep our hope fixed upon eternal life when this life is over. And again, it's not all just about us. It's not all just predicated upon our attitude towards us, because God has said that you're going to get some of these things because I want you to have them. And whenever we come in contact with other people, they need to be able to see that we're just bubbling over with our hope. They don't need to see an attitude, well, I think I might make it, I hope I might make it, but I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. We need to be just like this fountain. We need to be bubbling over with that hope, and people need to be able to see that. Brenda and I were talking about some people that we know that's going through a lot of bad things in their life right now. Their life is in turmoil, and it's turned upside down. And I mentioned, you know, I said, well, God's not in that picture. He's not in that family. And I said, whenever you've got that situation, I said, things can get so far off course that it's hard to have any hope that you will have any resemblance of something that would be a normal family or a normal life or what you would desire it to be. And I believe that. I believe that whenever we're trying to do the things that we find revealed in God's Word, it helps us to obtain and hold on to that hope. But whenever we get away from that, it's no telling where we might wind up at. And we see so many families that are torn apart, so many things that are disrupted, so many lives that are misplaced because God is not in the picture. There's no resemblance of God or His Word. The Holy Spirit is not among those people. He's not working through those people. And yes, they get their lives in a shape to where they're almost without any hope. They're almost destitute because they have taken God out of the equation. And I think that's the point I'm trying to make is I think we have that and they don't. And I don't say that braggingly or arrogantly that we have it and they don't. But what I do say is we need to be consolated in the fact that we have that hope, and we need to stay fixed upon that hope. And we need to let the Spirit of God work through us and in us, and other people that we come in contact with on a regular basis needs to see that we are filled with that hope. That's what motivates us. That's what drives us. That's why we get up of a morning and go do the things that we do. That's why we bring up church. That's why we bring up church attendance. That's why we bring up inviting people to church in the community. That's why we try to reach souls that are lost. And it doesn't have to be somebody that, again, that we deem is worthy of God's salvation. It just needs to be somebody. We need to talk to them about the hope that lies within us and tell them that we have a hope that we would like for them to have. And lives can be changed, and lives can be transformed, and lives can be better whenever God is put into the equation, whenever He's put into the picture. But if you want to keep going through life without God and without this hope that I'm talking about this morning, then things are probably not going to change, and things are probably not going to get better because you're without that hope. That hope is so valuable to all of us, and we need to be just like that fountain right there. We need to just be bubbling over with that hope. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you what? Hope and a future." People that don't have the hope that we have as Christians, they look to life as whenever they die, that all ends at that point, don't they? That's where it all ends at. And in their darkest hour, I'd say if you could talk to any of them that don't have that hope, that haven't professed godliness, haven't professed Christianity, I wonder what they would say, what it is that they're working for now, what it is that you're trying to apprehend now. Maybe they've been very successful in life. Maybe they've created, accumulated a lot of wealth, and they've been very successful gathering up money and things around them, put things around them. As people in the community look, say, boy, those people are very successful. They're very prosperous. They have a lot around them, but they don't have hope of that eternal abode. They don't have a future beyond that grave, do they? And that's sad when you think about that. And folks, there's a lot of people in this world that are without that hope. They don't have any future beyond the grave. They don't have any future beyond death. You and I, as Christians, we have that. And that hope needs to be sure, and it needs to be steadfast, and it needs to be unmovable. Romans 15:13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And again, it's the same verse or same reading as what we just read a while ago in Hebrews. The ideal is, are we overflowing with it? There's a lot in that scripture there, and he talks about the joy that is brought into us by this hope that we have, the peace that's brought into us by this hope that we have. And again, when you encounter a lot of people in this life and you think, well, they're very gruff, they're very abrupt, they're not very happy, they're not very friendly, they're not very sociable, a lot of that is because they don't know the joy and the peace that comes from knowing God. We as Christians need to be very diligent in letting people see that light shine through us, that we have a hope. We have a hope, and we have a future that goes beyond that grave. What would we be without that? We all know that this life is short. We can talk about that all day, how fast that time evaporates. James refers to it as a vapor, cheering, and it vanishes away. We know that. Without that, where would our hope be? What would our hope be beyond this life and beyond the grave? But because we have that hope, we don't have to fear death. We can live in joy and peace, knowing that we're in good standing with God, trusting in Him, trusting in His promises, and we can just let that overflow to where other people are impacted and affected by it. But without that hope, it's a sad, dismal situation. And the family we were talking about this morning that's got so many things that's messed up in their lives. And when you're around them, you can just sense that they have no peace, they have no happiness, because everything is in a state of array in their lives. And you know, it's hard to find, as a Christian trying to witness to them or talk to them, it's hard to find a starting point sometimes to where you can to start. But we have to, as God's people, we have to try to engage in their lives and try to help direct them to God so that they can enjoy the same hope that you and I have. And again, think about the importance of what Christ said when he said, I'm going to send a comforter unto you, that Holy Spirit. And we all need to have that within us. We need to let that dwell within us, and that needs to be reflected in our everyday conversation, in our everyday actions, and the things that we say and do. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And again, that's predicated upon that hope, ain't it? If we don't have a hope, then we're going to lose heart. If we don't have something that we're focused on and hoping for, then we can very easily lose heart to do the things that we need to be doing. But he says here, Paul told those at Galatia, he said, do not grow weary in well-doing. Sometimes we get busy as Christians doing the things that God wants us to do, and sometimes we may feel like we're not getting the results, that we're not seeing the things that we ought to see, that we're not seeing any fruits of our labors, and we're just like the husbandman that takes care of the crop, and we get discouraged and we think, well, it's not going to be good. But we're instructed by Paul here in Scriptures that we need to understand, we need to keep on doing good. We need to keep on keeping on as God's people, and in due season we will reap. There'll be people that we'll witness to and try to convert to the gospel that may not change, but there'll be people that will as well. I was telling Chris there a while ago about a fellow that I talked to yesterday. There's three people in his family right now that's considering becoming Christians. And Chris has had a lot of impact and influence. I was telling that to encourage him. And I was very encouraged in talking to him that they're right on the verge of becoming Christians. And it's because they have seen the hope that lies within other people that have already made that good profession of faith. So we do have a lot to do, and we do have a lot to be concerned with as God's people to make sure that we're influencing and giving other people hope. What else could you give anyone in this time of season that we're in, when everybody's thinking about giving gifts and maybe helping those who are underprivileged or whatever? What more precious of a gift could you give than the gift of hope? Whenever hope is gone, it's a sad situation. Romans 12:11-12, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Again, as Christians, we should be the happiest people in the world, shouldn't we? We should be happy people. We've got what God wants us to have. We've got that hope. We've got the Holy Spirit within us. We read God's Word and we make application to our lives. And when we come in contact with people, they should be able to see that difference in us, that we have that hope, that we have that joy that comes from having that hope. And they'll be able to see that whenever we face afflictions, whenever we face trials and tribulations and persecutions in this life, that we've got patience because we're looking beyond that. We're looking beyond today or what it is that we're dealing with today, and we're looking on to that eternal goal where we'll spend with God in heavenly bliss. And again, he says to be faithful in prayer. You know, we have hope, but we also need to pray to God. We need to keep a good line of communication with God. And I just challenge you, and I hope this lesson has been a reminder to you as we bring it to a close, of the importance of that hope. And to think about people that don't have the hope that you and I have as Christians, that their life, as far as they know and can see, ends at the grave. We have something that goes beyond that, and that is of great value and is of great importance. And whenever we lose a dear sister like Joan Cash, and we know that she walked the walk of faith, that she was a Christian lady, and she did what she was supposed to do as God's servant, we don't have to fear. We can rejoice in the fact that she has gone on. We can be happy in the fact that she has reached her goal as far as her eternal salvation goes. I ask you this morning, if you've never accepted God's plan of salvation and you don't have that hope, but you'd like to have the sure hope that we have as Christians, God's plan of salvation is very simple. Romans 10 and 10 says, faith cometh, 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So you must hear, you must have faith or put confidence in that, you must believe that. You must be willing to repent, must be willing to repent of your past sins. Repentance, what that means is that you're going to turn and go in the opposite direction, and a lot of people have trouble with repentance because it is an admittance that they have done something wrong. Well, Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, just because one may be sitting in this audience this morning that's never accepted God's plan of salvation and another has, doesn't mean that we're not on the same keel, because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Christ died for us all while we were yet sinners. We must be willing to make that good confession of faith that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And that's found in Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 8 through 10. We must be willing to be baptized in Christ. And again, we've talked about that a lot. And that means going down into the water grave of baptism, coming up out of that water grave of baptism to be a new man, to be a new person, filled with this sure hope. And your motivation and the things that you do and your actions will be based upon the fact that you're a new creature in Christ, and you want to have and obtain that sure hope. And of course, we must remain faithful, those of us that have already done that, through all the things that we have to deal with in this life, through all the trials and tribulations, we must remain faithful. And he tells us in Revelations 2:10, remaineth faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive a crown of life. That's where our hope is this morning. If you don't have that hope, we'd like to give you an opportunity to have it. And if you've had it, but for some reason or another, you've lost it. Something has caused you to lose hope, to lose faith in God's plan of salvation, in His faith for His people, His church, and lose faith in the fact that you're going to have an eternal goal with Him when this life is over. We offer you the same invitation that you might come. You might take up your rightful place among God's people. If we can help you or assist you in any way, we ask you to come as together we stand and as we sing.